I don't know that, you know, there might be some students who would be reluctant to take a class with me, and that's fine. I think there are many others, based on what I've heard from students, who are eager to see me in the classroom and want to take class. And what I will do is straight away say, I know there's some awkwardness here and there's some controversy. Let's talk about that.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
8:11 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Greg Pancake Hill, who produces the program, comes running down the stairs yesterday. Okay, Eric and I are in the newsroom, and he's like, we got him. He's like, we got to do the interview in like 15 minutes. I'm like, we got him. Yeah, we got him. Pointy McChancellor on the show today.
Otherwise known as Dr. Joe Gao, the former lacrosse chancellor who lost his job because he and his wife would post pornographic videos on porno sites.
Lucky guy. That's all I'll say.
Right?
It's the laugh for me.
Anyway, he was removed from his position because he and his wife would post these videos.
As chancellor.
Yes.
Which is important.
Yeah. To do the kind of work that you do, you know, you got to be in great shape and have a lot of stamina.
He wasn't talking about the job of chancellor.
Okay, there it is. All right. Well, today starts a two-day hearing in Onalaska, right outside of UW La Crosse, where Gao's going to fight for his faculty position. He's not looking to get his lacrosse chancellorship job back. He wants to just teach again and be a tenured faculty member. There's a lot of reasons why he would want that, including some money that goes with it, but this is what he's looking to do. So there's a two-day disciplinary hearing that takes place today. Five UW lacrosse professors will be part of the jury. They're going to hear from a couple of different people. Gao will be able to make his case. They could even bring in, like, witnesses or whatnot to discuss whether or not he can return and actually teach. Will it happen? Who will he bring to the stand, so to speak?
We're thrilled to have the one and only Will Pounder on our show.
All right. We don't know.
Not been called to testify.
We don't know if he has. I'd be speculating either way. So anyway, we did catch up with Dr. Gao. Wanted to talk to him face-to-face about this, about his interest in returning to the classroom, and of course, ask about some of that other stuff as well.
Let's say, Professor Gao, that you are retained, that your tenure is not revoked, that you are retained and continue to be a member of the faculty at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. Would that mean you are in the classroom teaching in fall? And like, what classes do you offer and would you teach?
Well, that's what I hope happens, and it's not clear whether it will, but I certainly am very eager to get back into the classroom, and I taught for many years, not when I was chancellor, but prior to that, I taught for 18 years, and I taught topics about technology and its impact on society and the media and how they change and the economics of regulation. You know, there's been so much that happened since I was last in the classroom. I'm very eager to get back in there and talk about that. And I've been reading a lot of books and keeping up with new developments. And I will acknowledge, I mean, I don't know that, you know, there might be some students who would be reluctant to take a class with me, and that's fine. I think there are many others, based on what I've heard from students, who are eager to see me in the classroom and want to take class. And what I will do is straight away say, I know there's some awkwardness here and there's some controversy. Let's talk about that and make sure everybody's comfortable and then get on with the teaching.
Are you still posting videos, you and your wife, on porn sites?
No, we haven't made a video since last summer. So that's something that, you know, we're trying to assess where we want to go in the future.
Well, that's kind of my question for you. If that is a passion for you and for your wife and that's what you want to do, why not walk away and just do that and be that couple, be that producer?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when we made the videos, nobody knew about them. And it was sort of like, okay, what is this? And now it's out in the world and there are some people who are really eager to see them, and they like them, and they think, oh, this sets a great example for middle-aged couples, you know, and yeah, we may not need to do any more. I mean, it really is a thing where that was a period in our lives that was interesting, and this is a new phase, and I think what's most important to us, and my wife is also an academic, is that we have the ability to teach and talk and get around to people who want to hear what we have to say. That's the kind of life that we want.
Former lacrosse chancellor Joe Gao joining us on Wisconsin's Morning News. I am so curious, and forgive me for asking, who brought that up first? Who said to who, hey, you know what we should do? We should tape ourselves and post it on the internet.
I think it was, I don't know how much you know about our backgrounds, but we were both in previous marriages and were divorced, and then we got together in midlife. And, you're at a point where you just sort of feel a little freer to talk about, well, what are your interests and passions and so on. And we genuinely came on that together. And that was what really, said, oh, this is interesting. We have something in common that maybe not everybody does. And so let's pursue that.
I know one of the criticisms, Professor Gao, of the fact that you were both the chancellor at lacrosse and then also involved in this other activity was that perhaps it was the legitimacy of, should I say, a more mainstream career, someone who's elevated in society as you were as a chancellor at a major university in Wisconsin, that also helped propel sort of the marketing end of what you were doing online. And that's where, outside of the morality issue that some folks maybe have with it, that's where the conflict came in for a lot of folks who were critical of it.
Well, we never used my position, or my wife, she was a vice president of academic affairs at a school outside of Wisconsin. We never used those positions to promote this in any way. What happened was when the Board of Regents found out about it, they were just very blunt and never even talked to me about, hey, we have a problem here. Can you take these down or can you resign and say it's for personal reasons? They were the ones who put this out into the world and created incredible interest in it. I mean, we would not have chosen to do that the way they did.
Had they asked you to resign and do it as you suggested, would you have?
I think I would have had no problem resigning from the chancellor job because I had already indicated I was going to retire from that after 16 plus years. The faculty position, yeah, that would have been another matter. I want to keep that job, obviously, and that's why we're having the hearing.
What would you have done differently if you could go back?
Boy, that's really a challenging question. It's kind of like the pandemic when we had to manage through that. You just sort of, here it is, and you do what you got to do. So I don't know that I would do anything differently. I just regret that the regents didn't take a moment or system leadership to say, can we have a way out of this that's not so shocking in public?
Is there any concern of students not taking you seriously? You mentioned that you've heard from some and you figure some will probably avoid a class if you were to get back in the classroom. Is there a concern of your reputation or you not being taken seriously if you're back in the classroom?
I think your students would take me all the more seriously because, they're living their lives. The smartphones play a big part of that. And I'm somebody that has extensive experience with the new media now. And, we don't need to talk about sexuality per se, but just how that all the image making works. I think I can really give them some interesting information that not everybody could.
Talking with former UW lacrosse chancellor Joe Gao, he has a two-day hearing that begins later today. Another question for you is, do you feel like or do you recognize that whether you agree or disagree with their takeaway from it, you did bring some national embarrassment to the University of Wisconsin lacrosse? Folks across the country had a chuckle at your expense, at the system's expense. And again, I appreciate that you don't think that's the right reaction, but nonetheless, that did happen.
Well, it's interesting. This is 2024, and we just have the ability, all kinds of people are aware of all kinds of things and can interpret it however they want to. I think by and large, people are now saying, okay, really, what's the issue here? And it comes down to important First Amendment issues and free speech issues, and that's something that's very serious for everybody. And so I think really, rather than say that the university has been embarrassed, I think the university has the opportunity to show that it is on the leading edge of free speech and expression. And that's something that everybody likes to talk about that and say they're all for it. And they're all, but really, when it comes down to it, are you willing to go out there and say, okay, this is something that's controversial. nonetheless, it's protected by the First Amendment, and it's protected by the universities of Wisconsin's commitment to academic freedom and freedom of expression.
But you recognize, though, that any hiring entity has the ability to set various standards. Eric and I here would get fired today if it were discovered that we had done exactly what you had done. Those are the standards. Even though we're in the business of free speech, those are the standards our company has set for us.
Well, you're a private company, and that's a very different thing than a public university. And our mission at our public university is to find the truth and disseminate it. And that's really job one. I know you all are interested in the truth, but really you got to pay your bills and sell advertising and get listeners. And so it's a bit different, I think.
Have you heard from friends in the adult film industry since this all broke in late December?
There are a few people that have been from that industry who have been in touch with us. I think that the biggest group of people are people that we used to work with. It's amazing how, and they're very supportive. They say, we just really don't like what the university's doing to you. I think there's a climate, frankly, of fear, particularly at my university, UWL, that people just can't speak up in support of me because they know Big Brother's watching.
Hmm. Oh, so when you say work with, you're talking about folks at La Crosse.
Yeah, there okay. And then other places that we have been in the past. I worked at several other universities, and I've heard from a lot of former students. Carmen has, too. She was a psychology professor, and they're very supportive. And I guess there's just this small group of people that tend to be in the elite who are saying, oh, this is just terrible, and we can't. And that's the group that I need to say, hey, are you for free speech or not?
You say everything works out for you and you're back teaching again, and I don't know, Will Pounder or someone texts you and says, hey, Joe, let's do another video. What are you doing? Are you posting more pornographic videos with your wife and with others?
Well, I can guarantee you that those folks would not be reaching out to us. I mean, we're old, over the hill and all of that, so I don't see that being a real issue.
But would you post more videos, or you think no?
I mean, we're not chomping at the bit to do it. We did have somebody that's a woman who has a production company, and it's a website, and it's erotic material for women, created by women. And she said, hey, would you and Carmen want to do a video with me directing? And, you know, it'd be very upscale. And that's intriguing. You know, it's nice to reach an audience. I mean, you think of adult video is mainly guys. It's good to think that there are women out there who are interested and interested in us.
Just want to make sure that we're clear on the point, though, Professor Gao, that would be if UW were to say, okay, fine, you can stay here and it works out that you can continue on the faculty, would you commit to no longer posting pornographic material, or are you saying you would still be open to that and that would be your intention?
I think that we would want to retain our right to do what we do in our personal lives on our own time with our own money. I mean, I don't know whether that would involve more videos, but certainly I'm not going to say we're ruling that out in exchange for me keeping my teaching job.
Right. Professor Joe Gao, good luck in the next couple of days. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, my pleasure. And we'll see how this turns out. And I'll be happy to come back and talk to you again.
Former UW La Crosse Chancellor Dr. Joe Gao, who starts a two-day hearing today to determine whether or not he'll be able to teach on campus again, could find out as early as the end of the week. I don't think this is something that they necessarily want to sit and ponder for too long. If you'd like to hear that interview in its entirety, just text the word Gao to the WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620.
That would be G-O-W, Gao, and we'll send that whole interview out to you. That's about all of the questions we answered. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit longer segment than we typically play in that interview, but we wanted you to hear from him in his own words. A couple of takeaways now that not only that we've had that interview, but now that we've listened to it back a couple of times. Mm-hmm. A couple of things I take away from that. We'll share that with you next.
And real quick, I should mention, too, we did reach out to UW, to the system, and we heard back from the media relations director saying that this is an ongoing personnel matter and they cannot comment.
Well, they can. They won't. Hey, 8:30 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Some reactions to the interview we did with former UWM Chancellor Joe Gao, who today fights to retain his tenured faculty position, says he wants to return to the classroom, says he wouldn't rule out the possibility of still doing porn even if he keeps his job.
But he did say that they're not necessarily in talks to do that.
Correct.
They haven't posted a porn video since last summer, and that they're not, I think his words were, chomping at the bit to do that again.
I wish he'd chosen different words, but that's fine.
Yeah, but his point was more, right, yes. I took it more as principle.
Right.
Meaning, like, look, we're not going to agree to anything like that because that's our business.
Right. How can I argue, as one of the things that I've been unfairly removed from this position as a matter of freedom of speech, if I then acquiesce and say, okay, but I won't do that.
Yeah.
Right. How can those two exist in tandem? How ironic that the chancellor loses his job for something he did in private, and yet the U.S. allows a convicted felon to run for president. One of the reactions to the interview, another one, the more Professor Porno speaks, the more he creeps me out. And another presidential one, I think 75% of the people clutching their pearls over this are also going to vote for a president who does things with porn stars. I'll clean that up a little bit.
Some of the texts that are WTMJ talking texts.
My takeaway, a couple of things. First of all, Joe Gao is a very personable person. Like, nice guy to talk to.
Really appreciate his candor.
Would love to have a beer with him. Love to hang out. I also don't want to come off, either of us here, as being holier than thou in terms of what people do in their private lives. You want to watch some porn? That's your business. You want to be in some porn? I suppose that's your business. I do challenge him, though, on whether or not, even though they're a public institution, a public entity such as UW versus us, as he indicated, a private company, UW still has a right to set behavioral standards for the people who work for the University of Wisconsin system. And if some of those behavioral standards include you can't appear in pornographic material that you post online, I think they have a right to do that. And I think if they want to use that as grounds to dismiss him from that position and to have him not teaching on the faculty there, you can disagree that they ought to, but I think they have a right to do
but
that.
But is that freedom of expression?
Freedom of expression has limits in every walk of life, in everything that you can say out there on the street, in what you can say in your professional life, and all of that. It has limits.
So
no one says he can't say it. They're saying can't say that and work here and teach teenagers.
So the hearing, one of the questions we asked him before we got rolling with him was just, hey, so why is it a 2-day thing? And he said, well, that's because like there's very specific parameters of how you can – he's got to present, the other side's got to present, and then they can even do some Q&A and whatnot. So they want to make sure that they have enough time while this advisory panel then makes a decision on whether or not he can teach again. So it could happen by the end of the week where we know whether or not they give him a thumbs up or a thumbs down, but it may not end here. I mean, this may end up going before the Board of Regents, depending on what is decided.
Yeah, not to get overly bogged down in the process,
right.
Basically if they say, okay, you're out, if the chancellor ultimately decides, or the interim chancellor actually at La Crosse says, nope, we don't want you teaching here, you're fired, he can then appeal that up to the UW Board of Regents, and then there's another process. So I think the only way it ends this week is if they say, okay, you can stay.
I did find it interesting. He also mentioned, hey, look, we're not the ones that came out with this. Now, obviously, they're posting online. That's free for anyone to see. But he blamed the UW system for making this a bigger deal and actually drawing attention to it, that it could have been done in a different way, in which case maybe the quote-unquote embarrassment wouldn't have happened because it wouldn't have been known like it ended up being.
So that's what's out there today and tomorrow, that hearing, and then we expect some news in terms of the finality of it coming perhaps as early as the end of this week. 8:34, Wisconsin's Morning News. On Wisconsin's Morning News this Tuesday morning. Meeting still today between President Vladimir Putin of Russia and North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
North Korean soldiers seen goose step marching to welcome Russian President Vladimir Putin to Pyongyang. This is his first time in the North in nearly 25 years.
Two of America's fiercest adversaries together on North Korean soil. Vladimir Putin arriving in Pyongyang for the first time in nearly a quarter of a century, greeting the Russian president on the red carpet, Kim Jong-un, talking animatedly, each leader insisting the other enter the limousine first.
No, after you.
No, after you.
Later, and I'm not making this up, they were both seen standing through the moonroof of the limo, waving to fans along a parade route. As warmer ties now are being pledged between the two.
Kim Jong-un was at the airport waiting for President Putin. The greeting may have been warm, but these are allies of convenience. The so-called strategic partnership they just signed pledges each will defend the other if attacked. But U.S. officials believe Russia, above all, wants a steady supply of North Korean weapons to use in Ukraine.
Yeah, so that's really why Putin is there. The U.S. is fairly certain and confident that their ammunitions are being used from the North against Ukraine.
Another reason that Putin is there is it just bugs us. likes to poke the U.S. and other Western powers.
Yeah, but you really think the Pentagon,
this alliance,
you really think like, or Homeland Security director's throwing a mug this morning.
Ah! I can't believe they're sitting there talking to each other.
Look at them shaking hands.
Why do we not know?
But you know who is paying attention to this? China. China is watching this very closely, keeping its response to be this partnership barely muted right now, says ABC. Putin has invited Kim, by the way, back to Moscow for their next meeting. So Kim would come back.
So he's going to get back on the train?
Yep, the super train.
He takes that train.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't he fly? Is it a fear of flying? I can't remember.
Like
we covered
John
that last
Madden
time.
John Madden thing?
Right.
I'm not sure.
Again,
to compare Kim Jong-un to the NFL greats. But yeah.
I should see the Kim Jong-un video game. It's very popular.
It's also probably safer, you might think.
I don't know, man. The longer you're like, easier to... Right, if he's worried about security, easier, I would think, to go after something that's on the ground and traversing that much. I mean, nonetheless, I guess it's neither here nor there. It just creates this interesting spectacle.
So what is Kim's
on his green train that's headed up there.
What is this friendship like, though? I'm trying to think of, like, did I have a friendship? Did you have a friendship like this when you were younger where you're like, well, it's kind of a friendship out of convenience, right? A partnership with that other kid.
You know what it is? It's Seinfeld and Kenny Banya.
Yeah, see, there it is.
Banya loved it. That's gold, Jerry.
Yeah.
Gold. And Simon was like, you owe me a lunch.
Or a dinner, whatever it was.
Two lunches. I want soup at Mendy's.
You got to come back to Pyongyang now. You got to come back.
That's what just happened. It's like, no, let's keep this going.
You got to welcome me now to Moscow.
Can't you just send the missiles and the bullets and just be done with it? I told you I'd take care of you. 8:47, Wisconsin's Morning News. I just want to re-highlight a couple of stories we talked about earlier, the workplace culture, the work from home thing, and a couple of employees, more than a couple, it was more than a dozen, got busted being work from home but not doing no work at home.
They put work into not working.
You know, anytime we talk about work from home, whether it's a hybrid situation or somebody who's permanently a work from home position, sure. The work from home folks text us and say, I'm more productive. No, I'm getting more done.
Certainly, I'm sure that's true. Right?
I would say there have to be some cases where probably that is true. But in large part, I'm not buying it, and neither are the people who are in charge of companies. That's why they want people back in the workplace. And this story that Wells Fargo fired more than a dozen people for not working while working from home is kind of interesting. What they said was, you know, early on in the pandemic when all the work from home started, managers started understanding, like, we got to figure out a way to find out whether people are actually working. And so they started monitoring people's online activities. So if you're supposed to be working from 9 to 5 or whatever it is, they monitored, you know, whether or not your computer's on, whether you're logged in, doing sort of things like that. So apparently these workers had found, and others have done this too, a workaround. So as they're being monitored externally, they purchased like a device that will move your mouse automatically so that you don't have to be anywhere near your computer.
So it keeps your laptop engaged,
yes.
And thus IT and your company knows that you still are, quote, working.
If they're running a very basic program, it can detect these movements and say, well, Eric must be working. I can see, you know, our algorithm here shows that he moved his mouse 9,000 times or whatever. So they're actually called mouse jigglers. You can apparently buy them online. So
of course you can.
What they really worked hard on at home was to find a way around actually doing their jobs.
Yes.
And that caught up with them. They got whacked. The other thing in terms of laziness of the next generation of workers, and I don't even know if it's laziness so much as it's ignorance, I guess, this story about Generation Z, which would be the newest members entering our workforce now, coming out of college, and then some of them still in college and even later in their high school years, using artificial intelligence as they apply for jobs. Hiring managers are reporting they're getting answers to questions from job seekers and even entire cover letters that are identical. So you know how you write a cover letter when you apply
sure,
for a position?
Sure, of course.
Right. I'm Vince, you know, a little about myself. I really love to work here. These are the skills
Here's
and attributes
why,
I have.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it'd be like if you're hiring for a job and you get an application from me, and you get an application from Eric, and you get an application from Greg Pancake Hill, and they are word for word the same cover letter.
Oh, because we all typed in the ChatGPT.
Exactly. Shoshana Davis, Gen Z career expert, telling CNBC, employers are getting hundreds of the exact same cover letters, word for word, answers to job applications that are the same, and they suspect ChatGPT use is in play.
Wow.
And nothing wrong with using ChatGPT, I think, probably as a template.
You just got to give it a quick edit. And maybe
zhuzh it a little, right? Throw a little of yourself in there. Just say, okay, here's the outline.
Personalize it.
Like, change one sentence, would you? They're getting them word for word. And then multiple people are applying for the job. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is. Look, we've got a real motivation problem right now. Folks don't want to work. I know there's work-life balance and things like that, and that's fine. But some folks just skated through the pandemic and got to call their shots when companies were desperate for employees. But the tables kind of have turned now in the employment market. And so if you're one of those beanbag sitters or the ping pong champion at your office, one of those bloated tech firms, you've proven yourself expendable by demonstrating you don't actually do anything. Your next TikTok might just end like this.
Big life update. I got laid off yesterday.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Chance this afternoon of some isolated storms, a chance of showers and storms tonight as well. Today's high 88 degrees, right now at 84 in Milwaukee.
If you'd like to hear our interview with Dr. Joe Gao, the former chancellor at UW-La Crosse, who is now trying to get his faculty position back, not looking to be chancellor again, he just wants to teach again after posting those pornographic videos. Just text the word GOW, G-O-W, to 855-616-1620. We'll send you the link.
And finally, when I was playing this highlight this morning in the newsroom, Eric's reaction was championship season.
Championship season.
This is the kind of stuff that happens to teams that win championships. We're going to leave you today with Jeff Levering's call at the end of the Brewers' win over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
McGill again. Ready to go. Checks his runners. 1-2 pitch. Fly ball right center. Back Frelick on the warning track. Leaping and he caught it! It's over! Sal Frelick up and over the yellow line. He robs a homer. And the Brewers end up winning this ball game by a final of 6-3.